Now I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, the very last chapter of this first epistle of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, and verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 13 and verse 14, for our text and the background for our message on this Mission Sunday. Before we read these two verses, I want us to pause for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee now with open Bibles that Thou hast written to us individually and collectively as a church. May we take the admonishment of the words of the Apostle Paul in our text today, and may the Holy Spirit apply them to our hearts that we might be motivated to serve Thee all the days of our lives, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul writes, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity," or with L-O-V-E, love. Stand fast in the faith. Equip yourselves like men. Be strong as men ought to be strong. Periodically, our Federal Bureau of Investigation circulates a list that is generally published in papers across the land, listing and naming the 10 most wanted men. I've been fortunate so far. I haven't seen in the names of my church members on that list. But these men generally are wanted for notorious crimes committed against society. These men are hunted down by the FBI, and sooner or later, they are accosted, they're apprehended, they're arrested, and there was a time when some of them at least were brought to justice. That's questionable in this day. But this morning, I want to give to you a list of what I believe are the 10 kinds of men that God needs on the scene through the ministry of this church and churches like it all over the world. My subject is simply the 10 most wanted men. In the first place, I am convinced that we need men and we want men in this church who dare to walk with God. There is an interesting character in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis chapter 5, and about him a very brief commentary is written. His name was Enoch, and the Bible says that Enoch lived 365 years, quite a lifespan. But something more important than his age is this commentary, that Enoch walked with God and all of a sudden was not, for God took him. He's the only man that we have on record who walked into heaven. Now, Elijah went up in a whirlwind. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Oh, there's an interesting commentary in the book of James on Enoch's life. For James says, Enoch, correction, in the book of Hebrews, that Enoch had this record, that he walked with God and was not, because God translated him, and before God translated him, he had this record, that he pleased God. You and I have just as great an opportunity as Enoch had to walk with God. Enoch could have chosen to walk with the patriarchs of his day. He could have chosen to have walked with the potentates or the priests or the men of commerce or industry as he had in his day. But Enoch made a very wise choice when he chose to walk with God. And to walk with God is to walk in a pathway of obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. To walk with God is to walk in a pathway of sacrifice. If we are to follow Jesus Christ, we must follow him into the city of Jerusalem and out of the city of Jerusalem to the place of the cross. To walk with God might mean your death. But on the other hand, it might mean your translation. And like Enoch, you may never see death. But walking with God obediently, sacrificially, in the pathway of righteousness, in a pathway of peace, in a pathway of devoted, dedicated service, you, like Enoch at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, might be translated and have the record that you pleased God. I believe that we need, and I know we want, men who dare to walk with God. Secondly, we need men who are willing to exercise faith in God. I read about a man named Abram in the book of Genesis, the closing verses of chapter 11 and in chapter 12, that God had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred into a land that I will show you. And Abraham said, Lord, you know the car doesn't have good tires. And you know we don't have good roads across the desert. And you know that we really have never traveled out of our own country. We'd be strangers in that land, wherever it might be. Is that the record of Abraham? No, that sounds like the record of a lot of us Baptists. I fear that too many of us have been reading the reversed standard version. God says go, and we put it in reverse and stay. God says give, and we put it in reverse and keep. Let's get another translation. No. Paul says about Abraham that Abraham journeyed across the Arabian desert and into the land of Canaan, listen to it, to a land that he knew not of. He didn't know where he was going, but when he got there, he knew he was in the right place. If God calls you, you may not know precisely at this moment where God wants you to go. But as sure as God is upon his throne, and as sure as this is the Bible, the inspired, infallible Word of God, God will show you the land, the country, the house, the city, the neighborhood where he wants you to go. For Paul writes, by faith, Abraham journeyed living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, but he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Too many of us are looking for Friday and payday and the bank account and bigger and better and more things. But I am going to tell you this morning that everything you see and everything you touch is temporal. It won't last long. But the things that you cannot see and the things that you cannot touch, but those things that you can lay hand on by faith, those things that you can see with an eye of faith, are things that are going to last when the world is on fire. We want men who are willing to exercise faith in God. And if God says go, be willing to go, even if we don't know where He wants us to go. If God says give, we ought to be willing to give. Now, here's the thing about it. If God says, if you've got $10 and God says, give $10, then you're not exercising any faith. But if God says, give $10 and you don't have but $3 and you have to write a hot check for it and say, God, I believe that I can get the money to put it in, that's faith. Now, that's a crude example, but that's faith. Abraham stepped out by faith, not knowing where he was going. I heard my wife say to somebody, that's what we did this morning. Abraham stepped out by faith. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if I could not believe God, if I could not trust God to supply my food and my clothes and my needs, I wouldn't dare put my soul in His hands. We need some men who will be like Abraham, step out by faith and believe what God said. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. You know what Abraham did? He went down to Leonard Brothers and bought a bassinet and a crib and a bottle and diapers. And he was ready because he believed God. And God counted it unto him for righteousness. One of the 10 most wanted men for Worth Baptist Church is men who will exercise faith in God. I'd be ashamed to let the world know that I felt like my God was a pauper, that my God was out of business. Let's tell the world today that God lives, and let's step out by faith and do what God wants us to do. We need men who are willing to exercise faith in God. And then in the third place, we need men who possess spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. The man Moses was a man who was possessed with this. We read again in the book of Hebrews, and if you haven't read the 11th chapter of Hebrews lately, you ought to go home and read it before you eat. For Paul says about Moses that Moses was faced with a decision. On the one hand was Egypt. On the other hand was a place of leadership for Israel. You know what Moses did? He weighed out the two. And he thought, now in Egypt I can be Pharaoh's son. I can inherit the throne of Egypt. I can have all of the education and all of the money and all of the wealth and all of the prestige and all of the power that the throne of Egypt has. I can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then he turned to the other and he said, if I go down here into Egypt and stand before Pharaoh and say, let God's people go, I might get my head cut off. I'll be afflicted. I might be put in prison. I might be put in a dungeon. I might be burned at the stake. I might be thrown to the lions. Paul writes about Moses that he had spiritual discernment. And the book says in Hebrews 11 that Moses, when he was come of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the reproach of God's people than to have the treasures of Egypt and the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose to go with God, seeing Him that is invisible, And because Moses refused the throne of Egypt, God gave him a throne of his own. Because Moses had all of the power, not of Egypt behind him, but all the power of heaven. You know, the men who ought to feel the most secure in the world today are postmen. And I'll tell you why. He may not have anything but a 5-cent postcard to deliver. But did you know that he has behind him, and if it were necessary, now Mr. McCauley and you other postmen ought to get this now. You already know it, but I want to remind you about it. Some people don't know this. You, if it were necessary, could have the Army and the Navy and the Marine Corps and the Coast Guard and everybody else to come and go with you if it were necessary to deliver 1 5-cent postcard. You've got all the United States government behind you. Let the dogs bark. You still get that card delivered. Now let me tell you this, beloved. Let me tell you this. Every born-again believer has not the government of the United States, but the government of God behind him. And we don't have but a simple message to deliver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. And when you go out to tell that, you've got all of the forces of heaven behind you. Let the dogs of hell bark and bite. You've got God. Moses was a man of spiritual discernment, and Paul could write about Moses and write about himself and write about us. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Peter says that we have an inheritance that's reserved, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And John says to him that overcometh, will he give the crown of life? Go on, Egypt, with all of your crowns. Go on, world, with all of your offers. I'm going with God. That's the man that Moses was, a man of spiritual discernment, and we want men like that today. Not only that, but we need, in the fourth place, men who are courageous and unafraid. There came a crucial moment in Israel's life, and a man by the name of Joshua had succeeded Moses. And God said to Joshua, be strong, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, am with you. This man, Joshua, was a man of courage, and he was unafraid. And he did exactly what God told him to do. And he marched around the walls of Jericho, and the walls fell down flat. You know why? Because Joshua was a man of courage. When they came to a crucial moment, Joshua called all of the elders of Israel together. He said, now we've got a decision to make. Now before I make my decision, he said, now here's the decision, we either serve God or serve the idol gods. Before I make my decision, I've got to go home and talk to the wife and kids about it. We'll meet back again tomorrow, and I'll tell you what my decision is. No, he didn't say that. Joshua was the head of his household, as every man ought to be. And Joshua said, as for me and my wife and my children, we are going to serve the Lord. No wonder God chose him to be the leader of the greatest nation that ever lived. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, get up and lead this people. You know why God trusted him with a big job? I'll tell you why. When he was a follower, he exercised courage and faith. When he went over to spy out the land, he came back and said, well, we can take that just with a breeze. Let's go get him. He was faithful over a few things, and God made him ruler over many because he was a man of courage, a man of faith, a man of undaring, undaunted courage. He was not afraid of the Egyptians. He was not afraid of the Canaanites. He was not afraid of the world Because God said to him, "Fear thou not, but be very courageous." We want men like that to serve and worship in Worth Baptist Church. And we want men who are willing to surrender everything to God. That's the fifth man that we want. A man who is willing to surrender everything to God. I don't know of a man who fits that category better than the Apostle Paul. For Paul says, if anybody else in Philippians 3, if anyone else has anything to brag about or boast about, I've got more than he has. I was circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, as touching the law, blameless. But what things I have, I count as but loss, that I might gain him, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul was a man who was willing to lay his life down on the line for God. He wasn't a Sunday morning Christian. He wasn't just a Sunday Christian, period. Paul was a man who said, "Jesus, here's my life. I've served..." Now, if you boys can't quit laughing, I want you to leave. He said, "Jesus, I've served self and Satan long enough. Here's my life. I want you to have my life. I'm willing to lay it down on the line. I sacrifice everything for Christ." He was willing to surrender all that he had to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of men that are wanted in Worth Baptist Church in 1969. Not men who say that coming out once or twice a week is too much, that giving a certain percentage of my income is too much, but men who will say, "Dear God, here is my life. Take it as it is. Use it as you please." That's the kind of man Paul was. That's the kind of man you and I ought to be. Not only that, but we need men who know, in the sixth place, men who know how to pray. I read about a man called Elijah who faced a crisis in his life. In fact, the nation Israel had gone far away from God. And Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, had built a sanctuary for Baal and had built an altar and had made sacrifice on that altar. And one day Elijah the Tishbite came from out of nowhere. That's all we know about him. He came from nowhere and stepped into the king's presence and he said, "Ahab, I'm going to pray. And it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed. And there was not even any dewdrops for 3.5 years. Read it in the book of James. For James says Elijah prayed, and there was no rain nor dew for 3.5 years. The next verse in James 5 says, and Elijah prayed again. You see, our problem is that we pray and we quit praying. We pray for a while and we quit. Elijah prayed again. And the heavens were opened and the waters came. And after 3.5 years without a dewdrop, the whole land of Israel was watered. Why? Because Elijah prayed. And he prayed again. We need men like that today. The seventh most wanted man is the man who has the courage of his convictions. You remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Incidentally, that was their Babylonian names. Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah were their Jewish names. But when they got into captivity in Babylon, they took their Jewish names away from them and gave them Babylonian names. But on your life, they didn't take their Jewish religion away from them. Because the king said, there's got to be a change made here. I'm going to set up an image. And when the music sounds, all people of my kingdom and my province have got to bow down before that image. And the music started playing. And Shadrach said to Meshach, now boys, what do you think we ought to do? I remember that my mother taught me that there was one God in Israel, and I should not worship any other gods. Shadrach said, well, let's have a prayer meeting and see what God wants us to do. And I believe they prayed. They stood up and they took a vote, and they all three voted unanimously that they would not bow down before that golden image. And you know what happened to them. They were cast into a furnace of fire that burned 7 times hotter than it ever burned before. And even the men who threw them in were killed by the flames. But after a while, Nebuchadnezzar the king looked and he saw forth. And the forth was like unto the Son of God. I want to tell you now, mister. I want to tell you this. If you go with God, God will go with you. If you will honor God, God will honor you. Maybe through a fiery furnace, but God will honor you. Stay with mother's teaching. Stay with mother's Bible. Stay with mother's God. For I tell you, America needs some men who have courage of their convictions today. We need some men who are determined to serve God at any cost. They said to Daniel, you can't pray. For 30 days, that's like saying to the sun, you can't shine. Because Daniel, knowing what the decree was, that he would be cast into a den of lions, got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed. Knowing the decree of the king. And so they went and reported him to the king. And the king, very reluctantly, only because the laws of the Medes and Persians can't change, King Darius had Daniel thrown into the den of lions. But Daniel made friends with the lions. And God gave them lockjaw. And they couldn't hurt Daniel. And you know what? I believe Daniel named them. The Bible doesn't say so. But I believe Daniel named them. And I believed he named one lion for every man that threw him in. Because that same chapter tells me that the men who threw Daniel in were themselves thrown into the den of lions. And the lions wanted to know which one to get. So Daniel named them. And the good book says before they ever hit the bottom of the den, the lions had torn them asunder and broken their bones. But Daniel came out smelling like a rose because he was determined to serve God at any cost. That's the kind of men we need today. And we need men who have a burden for lost souls. Most of you don't know the name Edward Kimball. But one day in a shoe store, he led a young boy 18 years old to the Lord. Most of you do know the name D.L. Moody. That was the 18-year-old boy whom Edward Kimball led to the Lord. You never heard of Edward Kimball, but you've heard of Moody because by the grace of God, he shook 2 continents for Christ. There's a man who is relatively unknown in the New Testament. His name is Andrew. The only time he's mentioned is the time that John the Baptist introduced him to Jesus, and then when the other disciples are listed, there's Andrew thrown in as Simon Peter's brother. That's all. But as soon as Andrew met Jesus, he did something that some of us have never done. As soon as Andrew met the Messiah, he went back and got his brother. And he said, Simon, I want you to hear this. Simon, we have found the Messiah. I want you to meet him. You know, anybody in this congregation, can tell a neighbor, a friend, a man with whom you work, somebody that lives next door, I want you to meet Jesus. Anybody can say that can talk. We don't hear much more about Andrew, but his brother preached one sermon and 3,000 souls were born again. We need some men like that, some Andrews. They don't have to preach. They don't have to lead the choir. They don't have to sing in the choir. They don't have to be a deacon. They don't have to be a trustee. They don't even have to be a Sunday school teacher. All they got to do is start telling other men about Jesus. A man who is burdened for lost souls. Then finally in the 10th place, the 10 most wanted man on the list is the man who is concerned about the spiritual welfare of our nation. Our nation was born out of a prayer meeting. But you know what? We've discharged God from the army. We've expelled him from school. We've taken him out of the government. We've written him off the books of law. In a nation that had its beginning by men who feared God. Are we concerned about it? Not really. As long as we get our paycheck, doesn't matter where it comes from, doesn't matter what we do to get it, as long as we get what we want, we don't care if the world goes to hell. We don't care if our nation is tearing apart at the seams, is being eaten into like a cancer by communism and atheism. We need some men today who will stand up and be counted and say, I'll put the preacher on the air, I'll put him wherever he has to go to proclaim the word. I'm concerned about the spiritual welfare of my great nation. We need some men who care as much about religion and Christianity as men care about society and politics and government and education. We need men who care about the spiritual welfare of their country. I mean some men who can cry. We think we're sissies when we cry. Jeremiah said, the summer is ended, the harvest is past, and we are not saved. Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Oh, that my head were waters, he said, and mine eyes were fountain of tears, that I might weep over the slain of the daughter of my people. That's the kind of men we need today. Men who are willing to cry over the sinful condition of our land. And then get up off their knees and do something about it. All of these 10 men that I've mentioned had at least one thing in common. Most of them were laymen. They were not priests or preachers. They were just laymen in the field working for God. But they dared to be different. That's where the difference comes in. They dared to be different. They would not be governed by the standards of the world. They refused to be swayed by public opinion. They refused to substitute convenience for conviction. These were men on God's 10 most wanted men list. You can be on that list today. If you will submit yourself to God, He'll write your name on it right now. And you women too. You can be on that list because for every Abraham, there's a Sarah. And sometimes Sarah has to step out by herself when Abraham's at home. D.L. Moody said, it's yet to be seen what God can do with one man who is completely surrendered to Him. If you're here today, my beloved friend, and you're lost, you're on the devil's list. But I'm going to tell you that you can be put on the top of God's list, and God wants you there on the top of the list. I wish I could tell you how much God really wants you. He wants you badly enough to send His Son to die for your sins. He wants you badly enough to write you a book and tell you about it. He wants you badly enough that He's going to send His Son back to the earth to get those who love Him. If you're lost, I wish that you'd come and trust Christ, and God will put your name on the list, right on the top. And remember, whosoever was not found written on God's list was cast into a lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. Whose list are you on? Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee in these moments for the preaching and proclamation of Thy wonderful Word. And dear God, if we seem to be carried away, help people to understand that this is a serious matter. That this is life and death, that this is time and eternity. These are important matters that we talk about today. And Heavenly Father, I pray first for those who may be here who are lost, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. Help them to step out and trust Christ as their own personal Savior and have their names written at the top of Thy list, even upon the Lamb's Book of Life. And dear God, for those who are seeking a church home, may they come today to identify themselves with Worth Baptist Church. By letter, by baptism, or on their statement. And then, dear God, I pray as pastor of Worth Baptist Church that you'd surround me with some men this morning who want to be on this list. Men of courage, men of faith, men of boldness, men of prayer, men with a soul winner's burden. Men who are willing to surrender all. Men who are willing to have the courage of their convictions. Men who are willing to stand up for the truth and be counted. Men who are willing to sacrifice, give, and go, live or die for the Lord Jesus Christ and for this great cause. Dear God, speak to hearts this morning in this congregation, I pray in Jesus' name.